Hello, this is Robert Smigel with Europe's Podcast, where we talk to the entrepreneurs who are making it happen here in Italy. Now get ready for an inspiring conversation with Yevgeny Makhmutov. Yevgeny comes from a family with over 30 years in the jewelry business, where they manage more than 20 stores at the peak. Growing up around craftsmanship and retail taught him how emotional and personal jewelry shopping really is. 8 years ago, he moved to Milan, Italy, where he now runs his own jewelry business and launched his second venture, Arble, an AI 3D AR platform helping jewelries bring in the in-store experience online. And I've seen it, and it truly is amazing. They are based in Italy, but have already expanded into Canada and Dubai, working with international retailers and partners. To get to know him better, he outside of work, he's a husband, father of two young daughters, one and 5 years old, and a dog owner. He loves technology, design, and finding ways to blend tradition with innovations. Yevgeny, thank you for coming on the show today and sharing your entrepreneurial journey with all our listeners.
Oh, thanks a lot, Robert, for inviting me for this exciting podcast. I'm happy to share my experience and I hope somebody finds it inspiring in a way.
Awesome. Okay. So tell us a little bit more about yourself. We kind of went over the bio and stuff like that, but 30 years. Wow, you've been around entrepreneurs for a long time. So tell us about yourself and the current business. I know you've got a couple of things going. So just give us a quick recap.
So, yeah, as I mentioned, I'm a second generation jewelry entrepreneur. I grew up in a family of jewelry businessmen with more than 30 years of experience. My experience is a bit shorter, around 10 years, and it's filled a mostly e-commerce side of it. So that's why we came up with our second venture, a startup called AR Bling that you mentioned. It's more about digitizing and AI. And so we are trying to, at the moment, bring a very traditional, very close business into online fields to help jewelry retailers survive in this new era.
Okay, good. What inspired you or motivated you to be an entrepreneur? Were you grew up with entrepreneurs? Were you ever employed, like a regular job? What's that look like? Give us a little quick shot of your career.
So yeah, mostly I was working with my family then. Working by myself on the same jewelry business, but apart of that, I had a small shot at an advisory field, and a business as a business I acted as a business advisor. I was short, and I returned back to jewelry business because growing up around jewelry retail taught me how emotional people get when it comes to the purchase of jewelry, and I love taking that tradition and using technology to remove friction for both shoppers and retailers. That motivated me a lot to become an entrepreneur myself.
Yeah, I guess you've seen a lot of scenarios, man, woman, and different variations of that coming in to buy. And I guess it's not just the cost. This is something they feel that is going to be representative of their marriage. And so I guess that you get a lot of questions as how it looks like mostly.
But the most important is people faces when they're happy to buy your product, smile all over the face, because most of the purchases are connected to some event that is important in their lives. So you are participating in their lives by doing this, doing them making them happy.
Okay. What kind of job experience, you've been in tech and you're kind of merging these two worlds, and being, I guess, working for other people and stuff. How does that kind of help you being an entrepreneur? How has that given you more knowledge with this experience working for other people, working for your family? I'm sure your dad may have been your boss. I don't know what that looks like, but what has that, what have you carried along the way to being an entrepreneur and your learning?
Yeah, so basically, it taught me to ship fast because it's most important in entrepreneurship. Measure honestly, don't lie, and obsess over the last matter of the customer journey. So, in my field, you must be obsessed with that because You make your customers your long life clients. You build trust with them. So we talk, this is one of the most, it's not like one time sale. It doesn't work in our field. You become friends with your customers.
I see. So they just don't come in, buy, and leave. It's like they may make a couple of trips in. You become a bit of a relationship there because they see you as a bit of a consultant, not just sales.
Yeah, exactly. There are clients that are shopping in our shops for more than like for all these 30 years,
Yeah.
practically. Yeah.
Okay. Did you need money or financing to start your business? You got the jewelry store thing going, but the AR company, the AI company that you're doing. Did you need financing for that? Are you looking for investors? What's your growth strategy look like for the company?
We bootstrap first. Then added a small investment of 100K from our partners. It's like a long-term loan without any winning interest because they're interested in our product. This was to speed up integration. Apart from that, we just bootstrapped my co-founder. He's a CTO, an AI guy, very, very experienced. Plus, we built him 12 years ago, a SaaS that automates car washes, and we sold it, so we had money already.
Okay, so how does this work? How do you make money with this AI company, this 3D rendering company? Does they license it from you? Does a jewelry store license it from you? Is it fee-based? What's it look like to make money for
Yeah,
you?
so it's a pure SaaS, software as a service platform, with tires, with four different tires. And plus onboarding packages and some upsales on the packages, and that's it. So it's mostly subscription based. So we
Okay.
don't sell, we don't put like burden on them. It's affordable. We are
Yeah.
trying to democratize this market
Right.
because keeping our service minimum, we are sure that our product has a value in it. And we are giving the small retail SMBs a weapon that once was only available to big guys, you know, like Cartier or Tiffany.
Right. Okay, give me one piece of knowledge or information about your industry that the common person may not know about. You've already given us a little bit of a hints of like, how personal this is and stuff like that. But now you're kind of getting into the technology business side of it. And you and I talked a bit before and talked about how real does this look and stuff like that. But that transition of going from in-store to online and AR or AI, give the common person that would walk in off the street about your industry, that kind of the behind the scenes, what really goes on there.
So in jewelry e-commerce, the gap between traditional business and online business is confidence. So it mostly looks like because people can't judge a true sparkle. As you mentioned, I remember you and me were talking about a fit, a scale. So this gap need to be by closing this gap with realistic visualization. And if you manage that, you lift your conversions like three or four times. Because you mentioned that a lot of people mentioned, our clients mentioned that other verticals have the same struggle that products online don't look exactly how they look in person. So we have to reduce this gap and
Yeah.
you will get confidence of your clients.
Okay. What are you most proud of in the work that you do? What really kind of drives you? Is it the customer experience? Is it the technology? Is it growing a company? What is the thing that you're proud about?
So it's a real experience of our first pilot client. In 2 months, he has a proved lifted conversion of more than 200% in 2 months. And his returns were cut by almost 30%. And that's life-changing economics for a small jewelry boutique like his. Because he managed to save like around, I don't know, 50% of his monthly revenue.
Mm-hmm.
That's truly inspiring, seeing offline first jewelers, the brick and mortar store basically win online. It's amazing.
Good. Okay.
I'm proud of it.
You've been an entrepreneur for a while. I want you to imagine that you're talking to someone who wants to be an entrepreneur, wants to get in this side of the equation to be an entrepreneur and start their own company. What advice would you give them if you were sitting across the table for them and they said, "Hey, I want to be an entrepreneur. Tell me, is it worth it? Should I do it? What would you advise them?"
Sequence your ambition, with one painful workflow, then stack adjacent value. And the second one is talk to your customers weekly or daily if you can. So you will learn a lot about your business from them. It's like building your business based on the feedback is the best.
So talk to your
This,
customers.
yeah. Talk to your customers as much as possible. Listen to them.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Europe. You're located in Milan. So we want to learn a little bit about that. What is the long-term vision of your company? And what does expansion look like for you? I know we've been talking about Canada and Dubai, but let's talk a little bit about Milan and how has that helped you grow being there? What's that look like in Italy?
The vision is become a 3D and AI layer for jewelry commerce in Milan, in whole Italy, in Europe itself, from a photo to 3D to AR to AI sales agent across all platforms. Our vision goes is based basically because in Milan there is a specific problem where jewelry retailers are not able to answer all their clients because all their clients are asking, selling them the photos, images of jewelry, and asking them, "Do you have something similar?" So we, based on that, we built our AI agent that understands both text and images and finds relevant from the product catalog, relevant jewelry piece from the product catalog. So we're saving their sales teams lots of time, and this is the long-term vision to give this ability to all retailers, all jewelry retailers across Europe.
Okay, I want to talk a little bit about Milan, Italy, where you live, and being an entrepreneur there. I want you to give me some of the biggest benefits of being an entrepreneur in Milan, Italy. But I also want you to give us some of the challenges that you had overcome. Because we all know entrepreneurship is not all roses at all times, it's a roller coaster ride. So give us kind of the good things about starting a business in Milan, whatever it may be, flower shops or yoga studios, from what you've witnessed. But also give us the challenges and how you overcame them. What are some of the things that you could tell other people? Hey, if you want to start a business in Milan, here's some of the things that I encountered and how I overcame them.
So first of all, as many know, Milan, one of the world's fashion capitals. So there are lots of benefits like proximity to luxury and fashion, world-class craft, and a location. Milan is located perfectly. It's easy to go to Switzerland, Germany, France, all over the Italy. So it's a perfect location. A lot of professionals in this field, in any field of luxury or fashion, you can find lots of artisans, a lot of artists. So this is the main benefit, because if you start in a business there, finding an inspiration or a partner or a hire someone is super easy. It's a really feasible. But with all these benefits also come, as you mentioned, challenges. It's like bureaucracy, because Europe and Italy itself is notorious by its bureaucracy. Then, like VAT complexity, in our case, is the GDPR complexity. I know that Italy is one of the hardest ones. I know that Germany is even more harder regarding the GDPR that we have to store personal data on different servers inside Europe and stuff. So this is the main challenges: bureaucracy and complexity of VAT GDPR
Okay,
rules.
if you were to come back to Milan, Italy again, and you just started over again, what are some of the things that you would do differently this time, knowing what you know now? And if you were to start again a business, what would you do differently in Milan, Italy?
Oh, so I wouldn't start. When I came, I decided to build a full-grown business. So I would start if I go there back in time. I would start with small. I wouldn't try to like scale fast, because being small is actually helps a lot.
Yeah, it does. I've talked to several entrepreneurs, and two things they say, obviously, scaling too fast, starting too big, but networking, getting out there and meeting people, whether it be investors, customers, partnerships, organizations, networking events, things like that.
There is a good book. It's called, sorry to interrupting you. There is a good book on that. It's called Zero to One. I'm
Peter
advising
Thiel.
every,
Is it
yeah,
Peter Thiel?
Peter Thiel. Peter Thiel. Yeah. He's one of my favorite like speakers, let's say, authors, because his vision is exceptional, and he explains that it's better to start small and going step by step instead of trying to like build a huge product from the scratch at first.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how you see the world personally. How do you define success? What does success look like for you? How do you celebrate? What is that? Is it money, starting a company? Is it family? Is it lifestyle? What is success for you? And do you have any other people that you aspire to, that entrepreneurs that are successful or iconic, anything like that you could share with us?
So yeah. Basically, first one is happy customers. That's a great success in a business. Then durable unit economics. So you're happy when you make money, right? That's the main goal, one of the main goals. And the third one is a calm team. So a microclimate inside the team is super important. So those three are super important for us, and it's defined a success. And we start our week every week with win of the week. So everyone in the team, inside the team, can share his biggest wins of the week.
Okay. You've been an entrepreneur for quite a while. Your family was into entrepreneurship. You've seen a lot. You've done a lot. Things don't always go well. We know that. It's not all roses when you're an entrepreneur. How do you deal with fear and doubt? And what is your self-talk when things are not going right, going your way? What do you tell yourself, and how do you overcome this fear and doubt? Troubles with the company, not happy with how things are going. And how do you keep driving and being persistent in the industry and the company that you've started? Because you have a passion for it, you love jewelry, you want to keep going, but there are some times when it's difficult. What is your self-talk?
So basically, it all comes with an experience, because you cannot avoid fear and doubt. What helps me most to like battle an anxiety is I write the worst case scenarios on paper. I write what happened to us in this particular time, and I read through it and trying to like come up with a 2 week plan, 3 week plan, and just talking to users, talking to partners, talking to the team. Those actions actually dissolves anxiety. And when you see numbers, it's always we always talk about it in the team. We always keep our numbers honest, so we know if something bad is coming up. Really, we are all about planning. So basically, you just write it. Pen and paper, the best. Write all the worst case scenarios. Write what happened to your team, to happen to your business. Then it will all come up. Just read through it.
What do you see yourself in 5 years? What are your goals? Do you have goals in place where you want to be in 5 years? I know we talked about expansion to Dubai and Canada and things like that. Where will your energy go, and where do you want to see yourself? If we were to talk to you in 5 years, what would this look like?
Yeah, so the recent research shows that there are more than 800,000 jewelry retailers that are traditional, but they want to go online, but they cannot. So I see myself running a profitable business, a product-led company used by thousands or hundreds of thousands of these jewelry retailers. I want to see them achieve their goals. I want to help them. I want to be their partner. So with the lowest return rates in the category, as I mentioned, we have right now one of the lowest conversion and one of the highest return rates. So I see myself helping all of these businesses to boost conversion rates and lower their return rates to be the most successful vertical among others.
Okay.
And sorry, and to just come up with this and I see myself also spending more evenings at the dinner with my family because right now it's a bit hard.
They're
You
young. Your
you're
kids are
always
young.
more,
Yeah.
yeah. You want to see them grow, yeah.
Yeah, you want to see them grow up. Okay. Let's talk about how you stay healthy. We like to ask this on behalf of entrepreneurs because it's high stress, high energy, always on. You don't get a day off. You're constantly working. We want to talk about how you balance life. What are your routines and what's your health schedule look like? Do you have any, or is it just it goes, you'll go along? I don't know. Or do you stay fit? What's that look like?
So, I've seen a lot of like motivational videos, listen to podcasts, and I cannot stay. I cannot wake up at 5 a.m. and do my routine. So for me, my morning routine starts around 7, before kids go to school or kindergarten. So I do 20-minute run, like really short. I walk then I walk a dog. Who cannot run because it's a French bulldog. And at least twice a week, I do physical exercises. And the most important, I'm trying to go to wake up and go to sleep at the same time every day. That's the
Okay.
most important. Yeah, this is discipline that will help you.
Yeah.
This an advice.
Milan, Italy is a beautiful place. It's an iconic city. How do you balance? You got this family going, you got your businesses going. How do you figure out your work-life balance? And what do you do in Milan? Is there some places that you go to enjoy and to unwind and get away from your thoughts and just kind of spend time with family? What are some of the things you do? There's so much to do in Milan. It's such a beautiful place. Give us some tidbits of where you would go.
So, Italians say that Milan is isn't a busy and crowded and a city, let's say. So for us it's not. We came from the different environment, but for them it is. So we actually got used to it, but we recharge with quick escapes to places like Lake Como or Lake Maggiore. Those are the biggest ones and the most beautiful ones, but there are lots of them. Also hikes to Dolomites, go up to the mountains, and slow weekends exploring Milan's Brera and Naviglie. Those are the city's historic neighborhoods,
Good.
but lots of restaurants and bars.
Awesome. Okay. We got some fun questions for you. We're going to try and ease things up a bit on you with all the intense questions. If you weren't doing what you do now, what would you like to do for a profession? If you weren't in the jewelry business and you could say, hey, we're going to give you a brand new career and you can pick it, what would it be?
A teacher.
A teacher.
I thought about it like many times, and probably a teacher. I like to teach people, to give them advices.
Good.
Not but not kids teacher, the small kids, the high
Oh,
school
adults.
teachers.
Adults.
Yes.
Yeah, older.
Adults.
Yeah. Okay, what two words would you use to describe yourself and why?
Practical optimist.
Practical and optimism. Okay.
So yeah, for me, glass is always half full.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. But yeah, I'm trying to apply it for the real world in a more practical way.
Good. Anything keeps you up at night? Are you stressed when you go to bed, or are you always thinking about your business, coming up with ideas, or do you just shut it off before you go to bed?
So. At the beginning of the journey, it was always like this. I couldn't
Shut it off.
separate the job from the personal life, and you always go to the bed with like some ideas or some problems in your head. Right now, I just every morning, as I mentioned, pen and paper, I write down everything. So during the daytime, I try to solve all of this and go to bed without any thoughts of the work.
Okay, entrepreneurs like to educate themselves. Some are very good readers, some listeners, etc. How do you educate yourself? You talked about Peter Thiel and Zero One, and what other books would you recommend? Or also podcasts? Do you listen to podcasts? Is there anyone? The reason we ask is that we want to know how you educate yourself and how you learn about the industry, whether you're in. Do you look at the jewelry market? Do you look at business, or do you just escape? How do you educate yourself, and some of the tools that you use to help you do that?
Because I came from a family of jewelry businessmen, I never really listened to podcasts around about jewelry or read a book about it. So all experience came from the real world. That's why for the books, I would say Seven Habits of Successful People. How does it called? From Covey. It's really hard to digest it. It's not an easy language inside the book that it's written with. But when you actually start implementing them in your life, you will understand it makes you a more productive human being.
Yes.
Then, oh yeah, Zero to One, Peter Thiel. I like books like Paulo Coelho, The Alchemist, or something like this, just to escape. If you want to read something a bit more difficult, is The Master and Margarita by Bulgakov. Really good book about mystery and stuff. So I would definitely advise this one for who would never for even heard of it. I would recommend this book. Regarding the podcasts, I like stuff like Joe Rogan when different interesting people come from these different industries or celebrities and stuff. So I like to hear their experience or stand-uppers. Then Lex Fridman. There is a podcast also called My First Million. And there is a podcast called, if I'm not mistaken, something like Acquired. I listened to a couple of episodes as well.
Okay, good. Do you listen to them while at work, or do you listen to these podcasts while you're walking the dog?
I like to listen them on the background.
In the background while you're going. Okay, good. Is there any advice you've received from a mentor or a family member or anyone that you could pass on to entrepreneurs throughout Europe? Anything that's resonated with you that you've kept in your head that's may have helped you during any times that you've been an entrepreneur?
So it's one wise man told me that sequence beats ambition.
Sequence beats ambition.
Yeah.
How do you explain that?
So you nail one perfect workflow, then price it fairly, then layer the next win. So every next step, small step, goes by the next one. Step by step by step, like a layer on layer on layer.
Okay, good.
So you don't think about all of us are ambitious. You don't think about achieving a big goal, your end goal at one time, at a day or overnight. You go to it. When you absorb it, when you understand it, it's easy.
Good. Okay. We're going to wrap things up with Jenny. How can our listeners get a hold of you? And is there anything you'd like to add before you leave us today? Anything that we've left out? How do you like to be contacted? You like to connect with other entrepreneurs? I know you're expanding into Canada, Dubai. So give us a bit of a plug on that.
Yeah, so the best way is LinkedIn. It's either my LinkedIn or company LinkedIn or my co-founder LinkedIn and a company website.
Okay.
Those are the best. Because as you mentioned, we're expanding from Europe to North America, to Canada specifically, and to MENA market, UAE, Dubai. So we would love to hear from your listeners from these regions. We would love to help free of charge.
Okay, good. Evgeny, thank you for coming on the show. I've learned a lot about you, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thanks a lot, Robert. It was amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.